On Monday, Hawaii's four electors will cast their vote for president and vice president based on the popular vote. You may recall that in the last election in 2016, one of the four votes went to Bernie Sanders instead of Hillary Clinton. Since that time, the Democratic Party has tightened up its process. It switched from a caucus-driven process to a party-run primary. We talked to Hermina Morita, one of the four electors who are expected to vote for President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Morita, a Kauai resident, is a former lawmaker and former chair of the Public Utilities Commission. She shared that the Electoral College process was something she hadn't paid much attention to before. But given the recent attempts by President Trump to reach into the Electoral College process to stay in office, more eyes are on that process.
To tell you the truth, this is the first time I'm paying attention to this, you know, especially for Hawaii. I mean, I've never participated in the Electoral College and never even gave it a second thought. And so when I ran for the position, I was pretty excited about it because, you know, this is pretty historic given what has been going on. So a couple of weeks ago, I received my agenda from Office of Elections. And so, you know, by law, the electors meet at the state capitol at 2 o'clock on December 14th. There are four electors and first alternates and second alternates. So it looks like the Office of Elections invited 12 people, the four presidential electors, the four first alternate, and the four second alternate. And according to the agenda, it begins with greeting the electors, then voting for the president, then voting for the vice president, and then announcing the results, and then the certification of the presidential and vice presidential ballot envelope. Then we sign the certificate. And then we certify the certificate again, I guess, and then sign cover letters, and then that's it.
I think the last go around 2016, I think the four electors, they were, I think, supposed to go with Clinton, yeah. And one of them went rogue. That was a surprise.
I like the label, faithless elector.
Talk about that.
So apparently this person voted for Bernie Sanders. And I think there were seven people across the nation that were faithless electors. And so what it means that is that they didn't stick to the popular votes within their state, and they voted for someone who was not on the ballot.
And to some voters, that was maybe shocking.
Yeah, because I think the process is you represent the popular vote in your state, and so you were supposed to vote for that popular vote, the winner of that popular vote.
Right. So that might have shocked us in 2016, but given mm-hmm. what we've seen of late, it just seems like there's, you know, shock after shock. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, do we need to change the way we do this and elect our president?
Well, I think the Democratic Party did in part do that. You know, you sign an affidavit that you would be voting for the person that you said you were going to support. And I'm not sure if you have to identify yourself as a Biden supporter or, you know, the other viable candidate was Sanders at the time we had the election. You know, the election was held in July, early July. I think the election for the presidential electors started in the last week of June and continued to the first week of July. And so at that time, the Democratic presidential candidate wasn't selected yet. And so the electors, I think, had to declare who they would support should they win the position of elector. For myself, I had committed to Biden pretty early on. And so, you know, there's no wavering for me on who I support. And I think, you know, again, I was elected to this position because, you know, because of my support for Biden. And also, the other thing that I brought up in my statement to the delegates that were voting that, you know, the Democratic Party really worked hard in trying to get more people to participate in the presidential primary. So this was the first year that we had the party-run presidential primary, and which is different from the caucuses that they used to have. And for me, it was a culmination of supporting that whole process and, you know, really reflecting who the party supported.
So there are a lot of firsts, really, with this election.
Yes.
It's been long a Democratic, you know, driven system here. You know, Democrats have just dominated local politics, right? But then, you know, we're seeing, you know, like you said, we've got the progressive, you know, movement. I think this year we've had the new party, the shopping party, you know.
Right.
You know, you've got some dissension, and I don't know if it varies from island to island.
You know, and especially when the party had their caucuses, a lot of it dealt with who would show up on that particular day at that time. So, you know, you have to be ready and available to show up at these precinct caucuses to select the Hawaii's choice for the presidential primary at the national convention. And so by moving towards the party-run presidential primary, the PPP, I mean, it really opened it up to the entire membership of the Democratic Party.
To more inclusive.
And, you know, it was sort of a prelude to the mail-in ballots for the primary and general election, giving everybody practice to that.
Any thoughts that you have, though, just about kind of process and maybe anything else that you think ought to be tweaked?
Well, I think, you know, I think we really have to look at the Electoral College and whether it's obsolete or not, you know, nationally. You know, definitely, you know, just to have a handful of states determine the outcome, you know, and especially when I don't know what the count is right now, but close to 8 million votes that Biden has over Trump. So definitely, I think, you know, the Electoral College needs to be really scrutinized now. And I think, you know, for the Democratic Party of Hawaii, after having a successful presidential run primary, you know, there's no way that we should go back to, you know, the caucus method of selecting a candidate.
Do you favor the popular vote versus the Electoral College?
You know, after losing two Electoral Colleges and not the popular vote, I think we seriously need to think about it. And especially when the most populous states are overlooked, you know, when you're looking at California, New York, Texas, and you're leaving it to a handful of much smaller states, I mean, that's concerning. You know, for me, when I put forward my name to be an elector, I felt that he was the strongest person to restore democracy and rule the law, you know, given his experience, both on the administrative side and the legislative side, that he could put together a really smart, diverse cabinet to fix the damage done the past 4 years, and especially now given the crisis with COVID and the dire economic situation, this is what we all need in moving forward, you know, just the most dedicated public servants to put their nose to the ground to get us through this time. So, you know, all I can say is that I'm really proud to be casting that vote for President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And I take with me all the hard work that the Democratic Party has done, especially with the party-run presidential primary, to get to this point.
And besides Mina Morita, the three other Hawaii electors are Michael Goloiu Sr., John William Baikal, and Kainoa Kamehiva-Rego. They are to meet at the state capitol at 2 p.m. on Monday to vote for Biden and Harris.